RNZ National caucus meetings were held at Parliament today by Labour, National and the Greens, and the Māori Party's Rāwiri Waititi touched down at Parliament for the first time since winning the Wairiki electorate, awaiting special votes still to be counted. So what do these next weeks hold for the process of establishing New Zealand's 53rd government? Joining me now is Professor Andrew Geddes from Otago University to talk us through the ground that needs to be covered and to recap on his thoughts about what happened at the weekend. Kia ora, Andrew.
Yeah, good evening, Karen.
How's it looking 3 days in since the election results?
Well, I think they're only just really starting to sink in. I mean, it was quite a monumental night. I don't think there would be many people could hand on heart claim they saw it coming quite to the extent that it did. And I mean, in a sense, it's so clear-cut, there's actually very little doubt. It's so different to 2017, where you remember we were all waiting to see, oh, goodness, what's Winston going to do? Whereas this time around, it's, you know, Labour's going to be in charge, and it's only a question of how much will they give the Greens and maybe the Māori Party if they feel like it.
What's your analysis of the landslide?
Well, I mean, there seem to be two narratives. One is that Labour earned it through its competency through COVID, and that, you know, the voters rewarded that, and the voters like Jacinda Ardern, and the voters basically, want Labour to be in charge. There is a secondary narrative that's, you know, starting to do the rounds, which is that some people on who might have otherwise voted for National got a bit spooked at the idea that there might be a Labour-Green government, and, you know, we're actually wanting to have a majority Labour government instead, and so it's almost like tactically switch their votes to allow that to happen. I suspect we won't know the truth until someone like the New Zealand Election Study actually, you know, does a survey of voters and asks them their reasons for voting. So, you know, up till then we can sort of guess, but we won't really know.
And a lot of people looking for a job now and others going into Parliament for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really big turnover. All the National MPs that are departing had their sort of goodbye and their silver tray given to them today at Parliament. The New Zealand First are just out. There's every possibility that Winston Peters will sort of leave Parliament without even the chance of having a final speech. I hear there's some discussion as to whether they're going to be able to give him the opportunity to, you know, have a speech in recognition of his long service. And, of course, Labour is bringing in this whole pile of new people and ACT as well. So, yeah, a really big turnover.
Also, it bodes well. I know we're not looking at the moment for 2023, but it does bode well for younger candidates to put their hand up, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, this is the thing. Turnover and renewal, you know, it's a really important part of Parliament, of politics generally. You know, you need experience, you need people who know how the ropes work. But if you don't have that constant, you know, flush of new people coming in, things can get very staid and very stuck in the mud, as it were. The other good thing about this election is it looks like turnout has risen once again. The figure that has been bandied around is 82.5%, which is up about, you know, 2.5 to 3% from last time, and it does appear that a lot of that's down to younger people, you know, actually voting, which is a good thing for the future of our democracy.
Very good thing. So, Andrew, when will the special votes be counted, and when will we know the results of these votes?
We'll know the final results, including special votes, on the 6th of November. So what happens is all votes that were special votes, that is votes that were either cast from overseas or from outside someone's electorate or by someone who had enrolled too late to be on the printed electoral roll, all of those are special votes. They are not counted on election night. Instead, they are sort of centralised by the Electoral Commission in each electorate. It's checked to see that the special vote is valid, that the person's actually allowed to vote, and then only then is their vote actually counted and added into the final total. So the 6th of November is the recount of all the votes that have already been counted, plus those special votes added in, and that's the final tally. That's the final result of the election.
And when we see a lead of close to 500 votes, for example, in Auckland Central, it's really not that tight, is it?
The tightest one, of course, is Whangarei, which is, I think, it's about 130, with Dr. Shane Reti's in the lead there. I mean, that's very tight, and I think there's every chance that that may well get overturned on specials, given that special votes tend to favour the Labour and Green parties, it was the demographics of the people who were casting special votes. In Auckland Central, the 450 margin that Chloe Swarbrick's ahead, people who've crunched the special seem to think that she'll be okay because, once again, the sorts of people who were casting special votes in that electorate were the ones most likely to support her. Then, of course, the special votes have the possibility of quite radically altering the party vote nationwide. Because Labour and the Greens do so much better than National and ACT, it seems pretty likely National's going to lose at least one list seat and maybe two list seats when the final announcement is made. So, you know, things could get even worse for them once we get the final result.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has mentioned that there'll be a government within 2 to 3 weeks. What steps actually need to be taken for this to be achieved?
Well, she could, in theory, go to the Governor-General tomorrow and say, I have the numbers in Parliament, and so I want to form a new government now. All you need to form a government is a majority support in the House of Representatives, and she's got that. I mean, you know, there's no doubt, irrespective of what happens with special votes, Labour on its own has a majority. But what it appears she is doing is a couple of things. One is, you know, talking with the Green Party, possibly the Māori Party, but it doesn't look that likely, but certainly talking to the Green Party as to what sort of arrangement there's going to be between the two parties over the next 3 years, whether they're going to carry on with the existing arrangement where the Greens had, you know, a couple of ministries and, you know, were consulted on matters, or whether Labour's going to say, in essence, I'm sorry, for the next 3 years, we're going to govern, we might talk to you guys and, you know, offer you some chance for consultation, but, you know, basically we're going to run the place by ourselves. That's going to be the discussion we'll have with the Greens. And then also I think she's going to work out who she wants in which ministry, because there's a bunch of ministers from the New Zealand First Party who've gone, you know, the foreign minister, Oranga Tamariki minister, you know, those sort of ministries that actually are quite important. Minister of Defence needs replaced. So she has to work out, you know, who she actually wants to do those jobs. So there will be a reshuffle of the ministers and so on.
There are questions about the Deputy Prime Minister. Will it go to the Deputy Leader of the Labour Party, Calvin Davis, do you think, or someone else?
I think it would be pretty remarkable if it didn't go to Calvin Davis. And it would be a real mark of, if not disrespect, certainly not trusting him to do the sort of public-facing stuff that the Prime Minister's required. I mean, Calvin Davis is, by all accounts, a fantastic minister in his portfolio and speaks very, very well sort of in meetings and so on, but he just isn't very good at doing the job in the House of Representatives of answering questions, and he's not very good in sort of media interviews. And whoever is a deputy prime minister needs to be able to step up and do the prime minister's job and that sort of role when Jacinda Ardern's away, when she can't be prime minister. So that they're obviously concerned about that, for there even to be discussion of someone else maybe taking the role on instead. But at the end of the day, he's the second in command of the Labour Party. The Labour Party is going to be leading the government. And if he's not the Deputy Prime Minister, well, it says something about how he's rated in terms of those performing those sort of roles.
Then why would they keep him in that role then? Why would he not be demoted?
Because he is basically leads the Māori caucus. And the Māori caucus is very influential in the Labour Party, and it's a way that the Labour Party is signalling to Māoridom that they value their input and so on. And there's a lot of mana attached to the role and to his being recognised there. And to take him out, it would be very, very hard, I think, for the Labour Party to do.
And so they'll live with what is perceived to be his shortcomings?
I personally, I think they'll probably have to. But like I say, those are the discussions that are going on at the moment. I mean, you know, the fact that it's even been discussed and even been talked about shows that I think they're worried, and they're probably going to try to work out how to do it.
And when will that decision have to be made by? Is there a date?
Well, when the government's formed. I mean, when the government's formed, Jacinda Ardern goes to the Governor-General and says, I am forming a new government, and she says, I want you to appoint these people as ministers. And so at that point, you have to choose someone to be the Deputy Prime Minister. So we'll find out then.
And Andrew, just from your own perspective, on the night, what was the biggest surprise to you, something that you didn't see coming at all?
Well, I mean, aside from the sheer sort of votes, you know, just the range of votes, and the fact that Labour got 49 while the Greens got 8. I mean, I sort of assumed that if the Labour was going up to 49, there'd be every risk that the Greens would be falling below 5. But that both those parties kept their votes so high, that was surprising. The second thing was the fact that you had places like Elim and Rangitike in the South Island and so on, places that are, you know, have been blue for a long, long time, switching their electorate votes to Labour candidates. So it wasn't just that the Labour Party was being supported as a party. The electorate was basically saying to a whole lot of very long-serving National MPs, look, I'm sorry, we want someone else in. And that, I think, was quite surprising. I wouldn't have picked those individuals to have lost their seats.
Quite incredible, isn't it, when we look at left and right, and now there just seems to be a blurred area.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, if you look at the numbers, the sheer numbers, it looks like you've got 57% of the country, you know, on the left, you know, 43% on the right. The question, I guess, is how many of those people who've moved to Labour this time are, you're going to be very soft Labour, and if National is able to get its act together and show itself to be credible, will drift back that way, or whether they can be retained within kind of the Labour tent. And that, I think, will be the story of the next 3 years.
Very good, Andrew. Thanks very much for your analysis tonight.
Yeah, pleasure.